It is, brother.
It really is. Picking up from, okay, Sarah had sent a message to.
Yes, it is a new recording, brother. If you don't mind,
starting again. Okay,
that'd be great.
No problem. Okay, so the beginning of my experience was started with Sarah. She had some Planned Parenthood ministry going. Planned Parenthood ministry plan with a couple of the ladies at RFF. And then all of a sudden, the emails and texts just stop. So then she one day sent a message to Tabitha from her parents' trade show. Her parents are in the garment business, and so she sent her something from the trade show and says, isn't this pretty, or something like that. And so the response was, Tabitha says, hello, sister. We've been told by the elders to refrain from any communication with you until they can resolve issues with Jeremy.
If I just interject there, brother, real quick, I don't think I've sent you that email. Maybe I did, but if right. I didn't send you the email from the leadership of RFF, I will forward that to you so you can see that.
Okay.
That was the first you heard about.
Right, and that's the instant question that came to my mind. Well, it's nice that Jeremy knows nothing.
Right.
So I found out later from John that we had both been, as I call it, the shun order, but neither one of us was told. Now, I had emails from Kevin asking me if certain videos I made were directed towards individuals up there. One was on temperance and eating habits, and I said specifically in that video, if you are willfully engaged in destructive behavior, I did not say eating a donut, you're hellbound. I didn't say, I'm specifically addressing the video. Let me just clarify this, lest anybody says I'm saying that people who have excessive body fat are hellbound. I'm not saying that. But without reviewing the total content of the video, my point was, this is God's house, and there are people who are just willfully engaging in destructive behavior against God's house. I mean,
what are the name of the videos, brother?
The name of that video was Important, the Church and God's Temple. And then, actually, in fact, the one that came before that was about Chris Tomlin, exposing Chris Tomlin that he's not a true Christian, along with a lot of these, as I call them, wolf worship today, you know, the rock star Christian, quote, worship leaders. But to finish the thought, the thing about our bodies and just carrying, it was a very simple concept that you wouldn't shoot bullet holes into a filthy goat barn of your neighbors. You wouldn't spray paint graffiti on some little broken down shed at your neighbor's property. But people are saying, I love God, I'm a preacher of righteousness, or whatever else, and they're doing things they know. Some of them know, but see, some of them don't realize what they're doing. You know, some of them know that they're being destructive with their diet habits, like a person who's smoking cigarette is destroying their body, you know, these types of things. So I was just drawing that conclusion, and I did not say that if you're eating certain foods, you're going to hell or whatever. But that ended up being the accusation, was that both Sarah and I said that if you're eating bread, it's the same as smoking cigarettes, and you're sinning. Bread, eating bread, is sinful. And specifically the accusation was because it has gluten in it. I never mentioned the word gluten in the video at all. So what I find out behind the scenes was there were these several weeks worth of all these videos about legalism, saying you're sinning if you're going to movies that have wicked people in them pretending to be Christians, people who are, you're listening to their so-called worship music, but they're actually enemies of God. I point out that praise is in the book of Hebrews. Just hit pause right here.
Sorry, we changed seats on you. We're trying to confuse you.
No, not at all. I was just trying to be smooth.
Jude, pass away. Thanks. You're no rookie, we can tell.
Jared.
And there's Brian.
That would be it. Yeah, Marine Federal Brothers.
And Christopher.
That's me. Perfect.
Oh, careful of the coins, too. I forgot about that.
No, it's the coins.
There you go.
Careful of the coins.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Oh, can I get a few to go? Mm-hmm. That'd be great.
Half and half?
Yes, ma'am.
You have your lemon that you need?
I got this. I can put it in there.
Is there a to-go drink I can get for anybody else?
Okay. Thank you. No, thanks.
Okay. I'll be right back.
That being pretty sensitive, it'll pick him up, you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, rolling again. Yeah, just wanted to make sure it was picking back up. So a couple of things I mentioned. Hebrews 13:15 says, "By him, therefore, let us offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." So the Bible says our praise and worship is sacrifice. Lord, this is pretty elementary scripture. David says, let the lifting of my hands be as the evening sacrifice. Yeah. Amen. So then, Proverbs 15, and I want to reference the exact scripture, so I'm being precise here. So, one of the things I connect with that is Proverbs 15:8 says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." So we have to be very discerning and careful whose worship music, so-called, we're listening to, bringing CDs into our home of people who are in league with people like Bono and U2 and these Satanists, and then they're up on stage as a rock star, so-called worship. That is an abomination to God. It's no. Would we enjoy and take pleasure in the Mormon Tabernacle worship phrase hymns?
Right.
No. That's an abomination. I don't care. They sound very good. They say Jesus many times, right? But the heart is the issue. So that's one of the things I bring out. So with basically those two concepts, and also I did an expose on the Do You Believe movie, which just in a nutshell, without going into too great detail, is these idolater producers, Roman Catholics, get these wicked people together. They put a movies and make it sort of gospel palatable. And then they have these blatant sodomite agenda actors in it. So the little 90-minute good feeling that they try to make out of the movie, that is just the bait on a hook. What happens then is they do hours and hours and hours of interviews with these actors spewing forth their false gospel to suck everybody into their apostate gospel. It's the most obvious snow job that you could, any child could see this happening. And I'm making the point, why would we support that? Why would we take pleasure in that? Why would, are we not commanded to warn people from such turn away? So how can you listen to the music? How can you take this, be entertained by these wicked, filthy animals who are God haters and say, oh, it's a movie. Oh, it's a... But what? I mean, my question is, what is it? There's an exclusion clause in the Bible that it's okay for God's enemies to pretend they're believers if it's a performance. I mean, you know, none of this squares with Scripture, and furthermore, we're commanded to warn the ignorant people who are going to follow Sean Astin into his belief that the Bible is not authoritative. They're going to follow Sybil Shepherd into her. You can be a Christian Earth goddess worshiper. That's how bad it is. I mean, they say these things, and so all these people are their fans are following. So. When I finally had to
thank you.
So I heard nothing. We're under the order of no communication. So I finally said, I guess I'm just gonna have to call Kerrigan. I finally called him. So I initiate. I call him, and I just asked him one question, just calling to see what's going on here. And he said, yeah. Well, brother, we've been concerned with some of the direction some of your videos are going. And I said, okay, that's fine. Kevin actually, get back to the point about Kevin, is he emailed me a couple times. I said, of course, this is not custom tailored to like two or three individuals here. I mean, you know, these things really took off. I've probably gotten more dislikes on my videos than, not probably, but on some of these videos. So. They are getting to some people and really creating some conviction, I think. But then I've had just amazing responses. People messaging me say, I message you with tears in my eyes right now that God is convicting me, and praise God for this, and I'm getting rid of this stuff in my life. I'm repenting from doing these things, whatever. And so what it came down to was they wanted to have these discussions with me, where I spent a total of over 7 hours on the phone with Kerrigan, Tracy, and Kevin, convincing them I'm not a heretic for telling what I just told you. So that's the charge. And then what I didn't realize was for several weeks in a row, probably a total of probably close to 5 hours worth or so of so-called teaching on legalism, that was all for me, that Tracy was doing, again, without them even asking me the questions. And I specifically told Kevin, I said, if that doesn't answer your question, feel free to call me, because I prefer, let's just talk on the phone if you have a problem. I had one other preacher friend that I knew who was kind of offended momentarily with one of my videos. It was the one on eating. And he called me up. We had a talk back and forth. Okay, I got you. And he was just offended, you know, because he's not like some big obese guy, but he was offended for kind of obvious reasons I won't get to. You know, I think he was convicted, you know, to some degree, and he just, you know, and he had a drug background too, and stuff like that. So. But the point is, hey, we ended the conversation. I love you, brother. Praise the Lord. I just clarified whatever, just tried to reinforce some things within there. But I've had from people who shouldn't be half as mature as those brothers in the Lord to people who are very mature in the Lord, who clearly and perfectly got exactly the message I conveyed there. Now I'm asking these three, why is it so difficult for you to understand my message if all these other people are getting the message? Are they smarter than you? They're not more mature or smarter, I don't believe. Kerrigan's a pretty intelligent fellow, educated fellow. Could it be offense? So, of course, they're never willing to admit that. But the point is, you know, and I've taught a lot of Bible on this myself. When a brother offended is harder to be taken than a walled city, and their contentions are as the bars of a castle. So that is as far as I could go with them, is telling them that. I can answer your questions over and over and over again, but as long as the offense is allowed to take root, you're like a walled city. Nobody's going to get through. I mean, our expression, our modern vernacular of talking to a brick wall doesn't even cut it, according to what God says. you ever see some images and some drawings of those walled cities? That's serious. So we have to, it's so important to guard our hearts against offense. Psalm 119 verse 165 says, great peace have they loved thy law, nothing shall offend them. And so there are some long-term eating problems there. There are some very strong likes of these movies and music that it's either you're gonna be convicted if you see the truth, or you're gonna figure out a way to justify. And when the Bible says in the New Testament that our weapons of our warfare aren't carnal but mighty in God, is the pulling down of strongholds. If you look at the definition of that word, stronghold literally means that which a man holds on to justify his position.
Wow.
That's the definition of that word, stronghold. So that's what was going on there, unfortunately. And ironically, Kevin responded to that Chris Tomlin. The video is called Chris Tomlin Denies Jesus Christ. And I took that from Titus 1:16. You know, in works they deny him. Professes, of course, they all profess their faith, but in works they deny him. So he emailed me, I think, the same day that I sent that out. I remember showing that to him. He said, this is so helpful. That's the word he used. This is so helpful. I am convinced Chris Tomlin is apostate. I cannot in good conscience promote him in any way, endorse him in any way. By the end of this long succession of emails discussing, what about Keith Green, who said you should use rock music to reach people? What about this person? What about this person? I just kept saying, what about the Bible? Keith Green does not have any influence anymore here, you know? Just these kind of things. So then all of a sudden at the end of it, the scales were just tipped to offense. And the offense took root, and then I found out later that they had gotten together. And I also find out more from John that there are people in the fellowship who liked the videos and saw the truth, and then they were talking to others, saying, "Have you seen this video?" You know, 1 week apparently there was an endorsement of the group Selah, and they're kind of looked at as more of a conservative in the CCM. And they are wicked to the bone. You just go on these people's Facebook pages, you look at about one page, it's all there. You know, just worldly filth. But I guess they had an endorsement of Selah from the pulpit from one or more of the elders. And another lady in the fellowship, Dan's wife, saw my Selah expose. And so she's going, you know that group they're promoting it. I have you seen this video? Do you know how wicked these people are? You know, so instead of acquiescing to the truth, it's just very unfortunate. They just built the wall and justified it. So they determined I wasn't a heretic after over 7 hours at first. Tracy said he was going to make a clarification video because he literally says words from my videos, and then he says this position quotes my words and then adds to it that you're going to hell because you're killing yourself with glue. So just blatant slander. In fact, it's libelous slander because it's published. Okay, so I made that point. And I thought possibly there was some light there because Tracy said, I'll go in, make a clarification. Well, he makes this little 8-minute video, he doesn't even make it public, puts a little annotation in, embeds this annotation there so you can click here. And all he did was say, well, this misleading video, I came to the wrong conclusion, but it was misleading. So he just justifies, no contrition or apology. And so I just rejected it. I mean, I just kind of reproved the video. I said, this is just a justification. There's no contrition here. So then he kind of writes me a half novel back, and just a very long explanation about how he doesn't need to be contrite. And And so I said, you know, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt that you didn't willfully slander or lie. I'm willing to go that far with you. But if you inadvertently slandered a brother, would you have no reason for contrition? But none at all according to him. So anyway, then that's where we sort of ended the conversation with just, as long as your offense remains, I can answer you. I can answer you. Can bring back every question again. But if the offense remains, it's just a walled city and I can't get through. So with that, apparently holiness preachers who say rebuking and reproving is loving, but when I did it to them, then it's hateful, and now I'm hard-hearted now, and I'm in sin. So that's why I got a shun reorder. They reordered it.
So you've been re-shunned?
Yeah. Both of us did.
Doesn't judgment begin at the church?
I know it. And if judge yourself, so you won't be judged with the world.
If I could just add in a couple pieces of information there, brother. One is the Jenna and Josh's wedding. Plans were happening that time, and the Peters were kind enough to get on the phone with those two and kind of decide what they were going to do for music and that kind of thing. And Jenna was wanting Chris Tomlin. Chris Tomlin for her wedding march. There were some issues there, and the wedding planning was kind of tense at times. But praise God, brother. Praise God. That was my testimony to you as well, that the Lord brought a lot of conviction on my own heart, my own life. We were watching movies we shouldn't have been watching, and just kind of going along with the flow of things. Not that they were pushing a lot of things on me, but I was allowing things in our home I should have never allowed. And as soon as I cut them off, boom. Spiritual fruit started. You know, they started singing hymns again. They started started doing things that thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They're not so far gone, you know, in this media frenzy. And I was one of the points that you point out in my testimony was when during Tracy's teaching, and I says that all or nothing.
Yes.
If you would expound on that, please, maybe. I think it's a good point to bring up about Tracy's teaching.
Right. So there were sort of multiple straw men positions against what I said. He spent three full weeks, full services of refuting things I never said. So that's sort of what I started with my side of it is I would agree with your definition of legalism. And if I even said, what you're refuting, I'd be on board with you. I mean, I'd be reproving that guy too. Yeah, anybody who tells me you're going to hell for eating bread, which we eat bread. my wife has sat with the ladies' fellowship multiple times eating a sandwich with bread next to Tracy Bay's wife, who went and told everybody that she said it's like smoking cigarettes and you're damned for eating bread just as much as you'd be smoking cigarettes. And we have one material witness here on that conversation, I know. So we have witnesses on that. You were in that conversation.
That was
that was a conversation. Remember, Sarah started talking about, you know, gluten and dairy are good things to try as far as omissions on the diet. You know, a couple things like that. But
I will add that she was saying how you were really, really trying to get these other preachers to treat the temple of God in such a way that you'll be useful on the street.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a very good point. I think.
Yeah. Right. Right. And that's what, one of the, one thing that people will say is that, but we have all these problems, like these doctrines of devils and Calvinism, or once saved, always saved, this and that. And there's far greater problems than people making themselves fat. And actually, that's a fallacy called the fallacy of relative pervasion. It's like if there's any problem, there's starving people in Africa. So you don't deal with any other problem because. So it's that kind of thing. It's like, yes. So my point is, how about let's get rid of all of them? Because Yeah. Yeah, right, right. Because you're still eating. You're still, but the point, it, but actually, there's a very good point I want to make on that is that, and I'm getting to the point that you said, but my point was, this is a physical thing. You know, everybody wants to use this as an excuse. The bodily exercises profits little, you know. But so right, so but the point right. The point is it's not just a physical thing, because don't tell me that Satan bringing temptation to entrench somebody in a stronghold that will put them in an early grave is just a physical thing. Because if you can take 20 or 30 years off of somebody's preaching life to get them off of the street, and however many million plus people might not hear the gospel from the man, that's not just a physical thing. That's, you know, the devil doesn't care which thing he gets you on. You know. But so my point of making this, we need to abstain from the works of darkness. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Well, what they seem to be so happy that I said that, because they built this great big straw man that Jeremy's saying that any work that a sinner does, you have to abstain from any contact. So you can't go to Walmart, you can't put gas in your car, you can't buy electricity, because there's sinners involved. Okay, so selling me gas is not a work of darkness. I mean, once again, this is what happens with deception. It's so nonsensical, it's so illogical. So they spent hours talking, and John's sitting there on the sideline. I know he's sitting there. Kerrigan steps up to the microphone, and he just hammers away at it, that you can't abstain from every work a sinner does. Simply saying, something is an abomination, someone is deceiving, they're a wolf devouring the flock. Those are works of darkness. Now, are we commanded to warn these people to not follow these false teachers? That's pretty elementary. So that's what I'm saying. So, very simple point. But then Tracy, so what Tracy's teaching is, it's all or nothing. If you can't abstain from every work, you can't abstain from buying groceries from a sinner, then you're being inconsistent. So I'm inconsistent, because I would buy gas from the Arabs, or, you know, oil comes in from the Arab countries, or whatever these things are. I'm being inconsistent then, because I'm saying you have to abstain from the works, the unfruitful works of darkness. The point, I wish I would have gotten to this a little better when we talked, though, because there he's got a false dichotomy. It's all or nothing. Okay, Tracy, so it's nothing? Oh, Jeremy's inconsistent. He can't abstain from all these works that all sinners do. Oh, so Tracy's is, it's nothing? I'm sitting there thinking, they're listening and listening and believing this, and even Kerrigan, and they're completely on board with this just blatant elephant in the room here. Saying what elephant? How? Because then your position, Jeremy's inconsistent, he can't hold to all of it. So then your position is, then you hold to none of it. Hey, you can't rebuke me for going to the Slipknot concert.
Right, because I can buy gas at the gas station. Why can't I go to the Slipknot concert?
Can't abstain from all? Then it's nothing.
That is a perverted view.
Yeah, it's just so, what gets me is it's so obvious, you know. So that's... So we're back at the reorder thing. That's where we are, unfortunately.
May I add one piece of information? Also, one of the things that struck me in the initial more cordial email back and forth, that where this whole fiasco kind of started, the last email that Kevin sent Jeremy about the Chris Tomlin video, he was very clear that we don't want there to be any division, we don't want there to be any separation, and, you know, if these things aren't handled graciously, it can bring in division, that kind of thing. And Jeremy emailed him back and said, I absolutely agree. I don't want any division here. That's the last thing I want. You know, let's just, you know, shelf this or whatever.
And that's when we thought that whole deal was over.
Next thing you know, you can't get a hold of anybody.
Correct.
Right. So. We don't want any division, so we will command our whole fellowship not to speak to someone who we haven't even heard from to answer. That's avoiding division.
Too, I mean, everybody in the fellowship got that email. And when I figured out he had not heard about it before the email was sent, well, that's out of order.
Yeah,
and let me just finish real quick, brother. Their reasoning was, well, he's not in our fellowship. We're not treating him as elders, okay? But every time we come down here and preach with him as a brother, we'd say, let's go have fellowship meal with Jeremy, hang out with him, have fellowship. So in that sense, at least they're in regional fellowship as part of the ecclesia, right? So they would make that reasoning many times during this whole course of events that was leading up to my catalyst and what I believed I had to do. So